can save the day.
Welcome to Mighty House. This is a radio show for people with problems.
Home improvement problems, that is.
And for people who want common sense guidance on how to build green and live a more sustainable lifestyle. If you have a home improvement hang-up, help is on the way. You can send an email or call into the show. The Mighty House crew is now on the job. This is
Mighty House.
Good morning, Chicago. I'm Ron Cowgill, and the Mighty House team is on the air. This is where we discuss all your home improvement issues, from foundation leaks to roof repairs. Do you have a problem with your house and don't know what to do? You can give me a call, 773-763-9278. Maybe you need to know how to install a tile floor, replace a plumbing problem, replace a switch or an outlet. Give us a call, 773-763-9278. We've got open phones right now, so get your questions in. In the first hour, we have the Mighty House Tip of the Week with Rich Cowgill. In the second hour, we'll be talking gardening, of course, with Laura Waring in the Mighty House Greenhouse. In the third hour, we have Jeff Sibley, I believe is how you would pronounce his name, and he's a firewood expert. I know, it's firewood, but he's an expert of firewood, and he's from Red's Garden Center. And we're going to talk firewood because I guess there's actually something going on. And there's a little difference to it here and there. So we're going to talk to him about that. And clutter clarity, that's what everybody sticks around for. That's what Rich and I get yelled at for. It's clutter clarity with Robbie Earhart. And your phone calls the entire 3 hours. We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Podcasts of previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show. And our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And, of course, you can use the hashtag Mighty House. And for the next couple of weeks, anyway, if you give us a call, 773-763-9278, you will have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago.
Your journey?
My journey, yes.
Really?
Yeah, that's what it says right here.
Where did you go?
Journey into the Wilds of Chicago. So you'll have a chance.
Glenview.
It's a book. That is, it's a beautiful hardcover coffee table book about natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. And you can learn more about it at ChicagoNature.com. So if you give us a call, you'll be entered into a chance to win that book at the end of the show.
Wait, so people should call now at 773-763-9278 to ask a question, and
right.
They'll be entered to win this beautiful coffee table book, of which I've seen, and it's beautiful.
If your question ends up on the air, you will be entered in for a chance to win that book.
All the questions end up on the air.
Well, sometimes people call in and their question doesn't end up on the air for whatever reason. So you got to call and get it in there. It's one way or another. So these mics sound different, don't they?
They're weird.
Mine's very flat.
Flat?
Well, I can barely hear myself.
Oh. Try that. How about now?
A little better.
More better?
A little better, yeah. That's right. I really don't want to hear myself.
Yeah. Okay, cool. So that's what's going on today. We'll be giving that book away at the end of the show, and we're going to be doing it the next couple of weeks also. So if you don't win today, you got a chance to win the next couple of weeks. And then we will be talking to the author of that book on the 17th.
We're going to be off a couple of weeks with Christmas, New Year's. So
yes.
You got to get it in now.
Yes.
Or, like, if you have a question, then you probably should just go to MightyHouse.net, yeah?
Right. Yeah. MightyHouse.net. If you want to just drop us a question if we're not around, you can always do that.
Yeah.
Always. So.
Get them all week.
Yep. Hey, Robbie. Did you see the guy, the contractor? I think it was in Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
He's on his way to jail for taking a $25,000 check.
Yeah, I saw you posted that.
So there's a reason.
Why is he in trouble for taking a check?
Well, he didn't do the work.
So? Happens all the time.
I know, but this guy got caught. So, and you know what? This is where Pastor T and a bunch of us all went after the hurricane, Katrina. Right. This is in the same town that we went and worked at for a
really?
Week. Yeah. So
that, how'd that work out?
I you know.
For, I know. Don't get you started on that one either.
It worked out just fine. The first time we went. The second time we can discuss off air about how that went.
Yeah.
But the first time it was good. So that was very interesting. So anyway, this guy went to jail. He took and the homeowner wrote this guy a check, a personal check, mm-hmm. and made it out to him personally, not to his company.
Ooh. Well, that's a problem.
Yeah. So if you're writing a check, especially for $25,000, and you're writing out that check to a and you're making it out to an individual and not a company, there's red flag number one right there.
Well, what if I have an individual doing the work?
That individual should have his own company. It should be a corporation, an LLC, doing business right. as something like that. ABC Contracting, you know, that's who you want to make your check out to, because now it's a company. And you can go on you know, the BBB and check them out. You can check them out different places. Make sure that this company's in good standing. Make sure he has his insurance. Do the checklist that we've got at MightyHouse.net.
So if I post on Facebook that I need some help, I don't know, washing windows.
Uh-huh. That's different.
Okay, I'm sorry. Bad example. Replacing windows.
You want an addition on your house. Or you want a new kitchen.
But what about smaller stuff?
Smaller stuff? Your exposure is not going to be as bad. If you write the guy a check for $300 and he doesn't show up because, you know, he needed to go buy materials and he disappears on you, you lost $300.
Still $300.
Right. That, to me, that's a risk you're probably willing to take to use this guy.
Right.
A $25,000 check is not something I personally would feel comfortable with, writing someone a check for $25,000 and not knowing who this person is, who this company is, what they're going to be doing. At that scale, you should be pulling permits and everything else. So, you know, that's a pretty big check to be just writing somebody.
Well, and that's what we tell people. It's not pulling permits is not just to protect you so that the work is inspected and done to at least the code or minimum of code.
Right.
But that's exactly it. If that's the contractor, they have to be insured. They have to usually have a bond, whatever.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of towns may be a license. So that's your first line of defense.
Right.
And if the contractor says you pull the permit, that's also a bad sign.
Yes.
You know, a contractor should always pull the permit.
Right. Yeah, because the contractor doesn't want to do it because he doesn't have a license in that town. He doesn't have the licensing or the insurance and isn't bondable. So
right.
That makes that there's all a bunch of red flags right there that just popped up. Boink, 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 boink.
Boink, 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 boink.
Boink, boink, boink. Red flag.
Well, and it's funny because we sit there and we talk about this all the time about getting certificates of insurance, do this, do that, and mm-hmm. so on. And then we get calls from, like, Ike,
yeah.
who's laid up, you know, and the owner of the company's not going to stand behind it. And, mm-hmm. you know, Ike's only recourse is to go after the homeowner where he was working when
right.
he fell off a roof.
Yeah.
So Ike, their insurance will probably pay.
Mm-hmm.
Shouldn't be a big deal.
Hopefully.
But that homeowner's not going to be happy.
No. No, not at
That's
all.
It's their fault.
Right. They should have done their due diligence, I guess, right?
Yep.
All right. Yep. Let's go to the phones real quick and let me turn on some.
Bang, 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 bang.
No, red flags. How do they go up?
Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang.
When you hear that in your back of your head, bang, 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 you know you got to watch out, right? Right? See, even B's agreeing. You know.
Bang, 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 bang,
bang, bang, bang, bang. All right. Hey, Will. Hey,
how you doing?
You're on Mighty House. How you doing?
Good question for you. I'm seeing a lot of people that are doing installation of floor tile, you know, ceramic tile on floors, and they're using this flexible backer, and they say it's better. And I have seen a couple of instances where basically the grout cracks because the thing's so flexible. I always thought that, you know, you use some, you know, concrete board for the backer because that's rigid and it'll give you good support. What's your point on that?
What type of backer is it? Do you know?
Probably the release.
It's orange. It's got like plastic
dimples.
That's Dietra.
Back and then a rubber.
Purdy Dietra.
Yes. Go ahead, Rich.
I don't know the name.
It's called Curry Dietra, and what that is, it's actually a release membrane. What it's for is isolation of cracks, and it actually stays flexible, but it's also waterproof, and it gives a drainage plane. If they're putting on all their floors, it's actually the wrong application. It's meant to go over concrete, and it's also meant to go exterior. So Dietra is the one with the dimples, and they have another one called Curdy. And Curdy's flat, and that one is what you should use on interior, and that's actually a crack suppression where it actually separates from the floor, and you end up with like almost like a floating floor. But you're absolutely right. The Dietra is somewhat flexible, and it's made for large format tile that won't flex.
Right. And
yeah, but I would think if you had the larger tiles, so the 12-inch tiles, and the
no, I'm talking 24s and up.
What? He's talking 24s and up, he said.
Okay, fine. So that this is what's interesting. It's a 12-inch tile. And what was happening, the grout was moving. You could push on one of the tiles, you could see the other tile wasn't moving, and that's why the grout was cracking. So
yeah. Well, here's the deal. With that Dietra on a concrete base, we've used it when, there's been several cracks in a concrete slab. We've gone over it with the Dietra, and there's one I know of. It's been at least 6 years now, and there's not a crack in that floor. So using Dietra, using the correct thin set, and mixing it properly is also it. So if it was mixed too wet or too dry, then that's also going to cause a problem.
Well, Dietra is actually made more for mud set. The Curdy is made for thin set. See, that's the problem is, Will, like everything else, I've seen Dietra on, it's a Schluter product, and it's an excellent product. So don't get me wrong. I'm not knocking the product. It's the application. It's been on too many stupid home improvement shows, and now everybody thinks it's the way to go.
Yeah.
And they don't ever teach you anything, you know. So they see, I saw it on TV. This must be what we use.
Mm-hmm.
This is just what I go and I tell my clients too. When you hire somebody to do work, hire somebody who knows what they're doing, because they got all these great materials out there now. But 85% of the people don't know how to use them right.
Yep.
Or don't install them right.
Yep.
That's why
right.
You know, you guys are constantly touting NARI, and I tout it all the time to my people. At least you know the guys have some training. You know.
Yes. Yes.
Exactly.
Hey, what is that? December 14th, we're having a joint meeting between you guys and NARI?
I thought
NARI
it was
13th.
13th? Is it the 13th?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Yeah.
We're going to be doing
a whole bunch of stuff on water intrusion.
Excellent. So any other contractors that want to come out, or if you're a home inspector and you're not a member of NACHI, come on out to the building, to the meeting on the
13th. Is it?
What is that, Tuesday night? I'll look it up and we'll talk about it again.
But wait, where?
It's out Schaumburg.
Oh, yeah, that's right.
Schaumburg somewhere.
Yeah, it's in Schaumburg.
In Schaumburg. All right. Schaumburg. What are your appetizers going to be?
Whatever you want to buy.
What?
I'm leaning towards the shrimp toast, but you know, that's. Don't tell my wife because I'm kosher.
Okay, so apparently no food.
Oh, no, there'll be food. It's a NARI meeting. There will be food.
Yeah.
All right.
There will be contractors, so there will be food.
Yes.
All right. I've circled that on my calendar.
All right. Thanks. Thanks, Will.
Thanks, Will.
Excellent. So let's see that. NARI Chicago. We'll type this in together. .org. And then hit enter.
And then.
Let's see what happens. Hey, look at that. There's Sonia right on the front page.
I can actually see your computer screen.
What?
Yeah, I can see.
Oh, this one?
The corner. No, you're just scrolling.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see that one.
How can you even see that?
Okay, while they're looking up this NARI thing, I'm going to read an email that came in during the week.
Okay.
All right. Unless you have the NARI information.
No. Nope. Continue.
Okay. All right. Hello. I am finally installing a bath exhaust fan on second floor. We have blown in attic insulation from 1958. I have no idea of the composition. Probably 67% dust and bugs.
No, mouse poo also.
What?
Yeah,
there
you go.
Why didn't you tell me there was 30 seconds left?
You didn't ask.
Unbelievable.
There's a teaser. When we come back, we'll read the rest of that email. Right. How's that?
Sounds good.
Already then.
Hey, guess what? You're listening to
Mighty House.
We'll be back right after this.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts and preview shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And you can give us a call, 773-763-9278. And if you do, you will have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago, a beautiful hardcover coffee table book about natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. You can learn more about it at chicagonature.com.
I would suggest that people call.
Yeah.
It's a beautiful book.
Yeah.
So not only do you have a chance to win a book, but, you know, you have these two experts in studio who can answer any question.
Most any.
I'm going to say any.
Any?
Yeah.
Okay.
All right.
There's always a way to set people up that they cannot answer every question.
Yes. There's,
you know, like, first question is in, you know, like 1912, there was a big cruise ship that sank. What was the name of it?
Mm-hmm.
There. You know, the Titanic. So you get that one right. And then you say, well, okay, how many people passed in that? You know, and it was like 1,471. And then you say, to make sure they can't answer every question correctly, what were their names? So there's always a way to set you up.
Thank you, Rich.
Ba-dum.
Hello.
Oh, we're going to go. Wait. We're going.
Email.
We're going to our email?
We get email.
Email. We get email. We get your email every day. Here's your mail today.
Rich. Rich.
Yes?
I don't hear you going, unka, unka, unka.
I don't do...
He don't do unka, unka?
Hello! I am finally installing a bath exhaust fan on the second floor. We have blown-in attic insulation from 1958. I have no idea of the composition. According to Ron, it's mouse poo. I am pretty sure... Oh, I said it.
You did it!
Yep.
Your mic's going. Your mic's going out or something.
What?
We can barely hear you now.
Really?
Yeah. I didn't say it first. Ron said it before the break. Ron said it.
It doesn't
first.
Matter when I say it. It matters when you say it.
I am pretty sure I should not just push it back over the new fan. Attic is not yet in the building envelope. I assume some sort of wrap covering it is in order. Love the show from Trucker Mike in Chicago. Have been listening to catch the last few delayed on the podcast. Thanks for supplying them. You're welcome. Ron works very hard to do that.
Yeah.
Yes, he does.
Oh, mucho better.
You know, I forgot to mute the Skype feed.
Oh, okay.
So there. I think it's a conflict of
interest
whatever.
There.
Well, no, because it's whatever.
Yes, I know.
So they finally did their bath fan, and they've got insulation in the attic.
Time out. Sorry. Back up. I just have to say that I said mouse poo, right?
Yeah.
But I just flipped over to my email screen.
Yeah.
And we were just told that you saying mouse poo was 20 minutes into the show, and it was a new record.
Yeah, but that was Ron. It's usually you that has to get it.
Right. So apparently now it's like, you know.
I got her to say it, though. Within 20 minutes of the show open.
So, thank you, Brian, for letting us know. And yes, you listen way too closely. I'm sorry, back.
Okay.
Now back it right, or forward it up, or whatever you want to call it.
Okay.
Okay, go.
All right, so we're back to putting in a bath fan. Installed a new bath fan into an attic that has older insulation. What should we do about this? Once the fan's installed, can you cover it up with insulation? I believe that is the question, is it not?
Correct.
The answer is, Rich?
No.
Sure, you can cover it up.
It should be boxed or something. Those things are not airtight.
Okay, so you can cover it up, but more better would be to... They actually make now these draft stop covers that you can put over can lights and bath fans and that kind of stuff.
Mm-hmm.
So you could buy one of those and cut that around so it fits nice and tight around the fan. And then where there's any gaps, you would take your great stuff and foam that and seal it up. So that now you've got a nice draft stop air insulation box around that fan. And then you can cover it over with insulation.
Right. And those things, you can get those right at, like, Menards has them, I believe.
Menards?
Big
yeah,
Yellow?
When I go back in, we don't have those down here. But I remember the one in Tinley Park. If you go to the back of the store by the contractor's desk, they got them.
Oh.
For can lights and stuff like that.
Right. So they come, they're, some of them are like a, what's that, just like a foam, like a coffee cup kind of foam cup.
Mm-hmm.
Fit thing. They also have some that are more made out of like rock wool, and those are pretty cool too.
So, rock wool?
Yeah.
Rock wool.
It's a type of insulation.
Thank you.
So you can cover it up with that. Now, if you don't want to go buy one of those things, and you might have some 1-inch foam board, you know, the blue board or the pink board, you could actually just make a box out of that stuff and all the seams just put some great stuff on there, mush it together. You'll make yourself a box, cover it over, and you could just seal it up that way too. So you could use that, and now you're okay. So just some way of boxing that off, sealing it up before you cover it back over.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. More better.
More better.
Well, and not only because the things are not airtight, and some, most can lights, unless you get a can light that says on the tag AT, which is airtight.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so you have IC, which is insulation contact, and then you have AT, and then T, which is thermally protected. So to get the proper can light, this is always crazy when I spec them out, I have to have an IC, AT, T can in order to make it, to stick it in the ceiling and call it done. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, you have to cover them so you don't start fires.
Right.
Yeah. You have insulation contact on a can light. So these things are not just for air movement or to air seal. It's also to protect the house from starting a fire, because you can't have insulation on something sometimes.
Right. A standard TC can, you can put that in the ceiling and interior walls. If you've got a second floor above, they're not within contact of insulation. The TC, it's thermally protected. If it overheats, it'll turn off, but it's not airtight, and it's not made to be have insulation put right on it. A quick way to look at it is, if you look at the backside of the can and it's white, that's a good chance right there that that's just a TC can, and it has to stay, I believe it's 6 to 8 inches away from any insulation. So that when you do that, you need one of those covers then to put over a can if you have one of those, or you replace the can with the correct insulation can. So you go IC, you can put insulation right up against it, but it still doesn't stop the drafts, which then you need the draft stop air-sealed cans. So...
I'm confused.
You're confused?
No, it's just I found your post about the guy who took the check and that for a job he didn't do.
Oh, okay, yeah.
But it says Long Beach.
Are we heading going backwards now?
Yeah, we're going back to the last segment.
Hmm. Yes.
Long Beach, but he was working in... He was from Long Beach, right?
I don't know. I think my internet connection today is a little slow. But it came from the Sun-Herald in, like, St. Louis, Missouri.
Bay of St. Louis, Mississippi.
Oh, really?
There you go.
Had a hard time opening it. apparently, I have a slow... Everybody must have got up early today.
Yeah? A slow connection today?
The Sun-Herald, Bay St. Louis. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah. Yeah, Bay St. Louis, Mississippi.
Okay. So maybe he's in Long Beach, Mississippi?
Yes.
I always think of Long Beach, like California.
Right. Yeah.
And because my computer is not working properly. See, sunherald.com is not responding.
Uh-huh.
Thank you, Captain Obvious.
Okay. So in the meantime.
In the meantime,
on the Facebook,
mm-hmm.
Yeah.
We post a lot of things. There's a picture that I want to talk about, but I want to tell people to be sure to like us on Facebook. It's Mighty House Home Improvement Show on Facebook. So go there because we post some really cool photos. And there's one, a contractor said that they, or not a contractor, an inspector ran across this, and it was a whole bunch of
outlets. What's up with that?
I don't know what's up with that, but apparently...
You posted it, right?
I did post it because I saw it. And what's wrong with it?
Nothing's wrong with it.
I like that you said more power and then you put more wattage to the cottage.
That's what it is. Yeah.
So what's wrong with having a whole line of...
Nothing.
Outlets.
Nothing. Nothing at all.
Nothing.
It's not. If it's all wired properly... You can have a stack of outlets like that all day long.
Except you still got to worry about the load. But then again, that's what the breaker's for, I guess.
Yeah. No, but so what? Every third, you put three or four outlets on a circuit and you pull a new circuit for the other ones. Depends on what you're loading up.
Right.
So it's possible that this is correct and there's nothing wrong with it.
Yeah.
Or it's possible what?
You would have to take it all apart and see how it's wired.
Mm-hmm.
Generally speaking, 10 to 12 outlets on a 15-amp circuit is pretty close. That's normally what we shoot for. So if you've got 10 to 12 openings on a circuit, it's okay. How many outlets are there?
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 8.
8, all in one thing. It could all technically be on one circuit in one 15-amp breaker.
Is that on the Facebook page?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. I'm on our Facebook page, and I don't see that.
Because there it is. Sometimes I hate Facebook.
I know. It doesn't load. Well, you click on most current, and I still get stuff I saw 2 weeks ago.
Yes, it makes me nuts. I want to put something up, and it'll show posts from weeks ago. And I'm like, no, I want to see what I just posted.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how people are seeing this stuff if I can't even see it.
Ticks me off. I do see the picture now, and I can't understand why you would do that.
Yeah, and they're all single outlets. You could have done a duplex outlet. Mm-hmm. You could have done 2 4-gang outlets, so you had 4 and 4. You could have cleaned it up, make it look a lot nicer than that.
Well, and then they're not even plumb.
Yeah, I know.
Well, I'm guessing that...
If you got lines in your paneling that show that everything is running off to the right, then, you know, that's a bad thing.
Right.
But I'm guessing that maybe there was a TV and a... It looks a little old.
Right.
Now, so.
But if you plugged in your computer there, and then you had to, when you had to plug in all the different parts of your computer, and it wasn't just one plug, so you plugged in your monitor, you plugged in your computer.
Right.
And you had to,
speakers.
Right. And then they didn't have a strip plug, but they had a lot of outlets sitting around, so they just wired all that up there.
Nothing wrong with it.
Then you have to plug in your printer, your scanner.
Well, no, I mean, they've got an outlet at the baseboard, which looks to be a 220, and that's probably for the window air conditioner.
Yes.
So my other theory is maybe that's where they put their Christmas tree, and they needed all those holes.
Hey, and you know what?
Hey,
Alex Fayer and Chris Visa, a few seconds ago, they liked us on Mighty House Home Improvement Show.
No.
So thank you very much. We ask people to go like us because there's a lot of fun and weird stuff.
Mostly sometimes weird.
When I talk about stuff on Clutter Clarity, I will include a photo because, it's radio.
Most of the time you do.
Yeah, and that's where you want to go to see these things. So.
Yeah, on the Twitter, too. Now, you leave a Twitter out
because
all the time.
I don't know what it is. And I don't know what Instagram
I don't tweet
is
either.
Well, you
at least have a Twitter account.
Yeah.
@Robbie.
Yeah.
Yeah,
what
but
is it @Robbie?
But your niece runs that, doesn't she?
I don't even know. It hurts my head because you know what? I do have one, and sometimes I've been tweeting, but the problem is I don't remember any of the logins.
So you call your niece and ask her, right?
There's just problems. But let's not talk about me.
No.
Let's talk about helping people. Now, there are 2 phone callers, and we're waiting for Trixie to say who they are, and one just popped up, and it's Carl in Chicago. Talk about carbon monoxide.
That's what we were talking about last week,
too.
So let's find out. Hey, Carl.
Hey, how you doing? Happy Saturday. Yippee-ki.
Yippee-ki.
Yippee-ki, blanker. You fill in the blanks.
I don't know what to know.
You and Bruce Willis.
Uh-huh.
Thank you.
Yippee-ki.
Uh-huh.
No, we know it. She knows what it is. We don't want to fill it in.
We don't.
Power.
Yeah.
Power.
What were you thinking?
I don't know.
Flower power.
Flower power.
You like flowers.
I do.
Yeah.
Oh, geez.
Thanks, Carl.
So. Hey, carbon monoxide detector. Long story. I'm going to try to condense it real quick.
Okay. Right? We've got 3 hours left of the show. Go.
Ah, good. I needed some work done on my chimney. Okay. It was older and needed tuck point and everything. And I called this company up and I said, you know what? I need my chimney redone. And they said, good, good. Fine. We'll redo your chimney. Fortunately, I just got out of the hospital. I had minor surgery. I'm okay. No problem. And I'm sitting in the house and I'm listening to them on the roof, taking apart the old chimney. And I'm hearing all of this debris falling down the chimney. And I'm thinking to myself, you know what? If I was going to disassemble an old chimney, I would take the bricks off and lay them down on the side rather than let a lot of debris go down the chimney chute and possibly clog the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hearing this clank, clunk, 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 all this stuff falling down. And, you know, the chimney liner, you know, the metal liner that you have in a chimney. And I'm going like, man, this is weird, you know. So finally, they got all that stuff done and everything, and then they built the new chimney. Now this is in November, a few years back. So then they claimed that chimney's done and everything, but we think you might have a problem. We think your chimney might be blocked up. And I'm thinking, gee, no kidding, right?
Uh-huh. Right.
So they didn't realize it. I'm an older person, but I'm still kind of nimble, And so I said, okay, I have a two flat with the hatch where you go up. So right. I climb up the ladder and go up on the hatch, and I'm up on the roof. And he goes, look, they left one brick out of the side of the middle of the chimney. And they said, look, you see what's happening? You're getting hot air coming out of the side of the chimney.
Right. Hey, we got to take a break here. Can you hang
on,
Carl?
Hold on.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We'll come back with Carl's long story right after this. You're listening to
Mighty House.
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return. This is Mighty House with Ron Cowgill. Answering all of your toughest questions about home repair. Get all your answers from the experts. This is Mighty House.
We're broadcasting worldwide and live at MightyHouse.net and TuneIn.com. Just look for Mighty House. Podcasts or previous shows available at MightyHouse.net, iTunes, SoundCloud, the GLN Network, and on HomeImprovementUSA.com. Find links to all of them at MightyHouse.net. Follow us on Facebook by looking for Mighty House Home Improvement Show, and our Twitter handle is at Mighty House. And if you give us a call at 773-763-9278, you'll have a chance to win a copy of My Journey into the Wilds of Chicago. A beautiful hardcover coffee table book about natural wonders within 1 hour of downtown Chicago. And you can learn more about it at chicagonature.com. All right, there we go. And
does it have legs on the bottom, like Kramer's, so the coffee table book becomes a coffee table?
No, but that'd be a great way to do it.
It was awesome.
What's
no
wrong?
Comment.
What?
And I'm just thinking of those children's books where you put your own kids, like your grandchild's picture in there.
Uh-huh.
So every time you open it, you know, there's the picture of the kid. So it'd be my journey through, and then you'd put your little picture in there.
Uh-huh.
And every time you'd open it, it'd be like, you know, there you are.
It's your journey through.
Right, right.
Yeah.
Why didn't they do that?
I don't know. We can ask him on the 17th because the author will be in. We're going to talk to him on the 17th.
Really?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah. Yeah. They're a couple weeks away. In the meantime, we're giving away his book. At the end of the show, we'll have a drawing for everybody that called in. So 773.
Exactly, so people call.
773-763-9278.
Yes.
And let's go back to Carl.
Please.
Hey, Carl.
You.
All right, I got my blankie on. I'm kicked back in my easy chair. Go ahead, continue.
There you go. Was Seinfeld a good show? Was Larry David funny or what? That
yes.
Coffee table book was really great. That was, that was
right.
That was a good episode.
Yes.
So anyway, so here we are. They finished the chimney. They got the chimney all done and everything, but they leave one brick out of the middle of the chimney, and they go, "Hey, you got to look at this. I think you got something wrong here." So I go up on the roof and I'm looking at it, and here's one brick. And I thought, this is weird. One brick is left out of the middle of the chimney, and he says, "I think that your chimney liner is clogged up." And I thought to myself, well, with all the debris I heard falling down, I wouldn't doubt it. It never was clogged up before.
Uh-huh.
And he said, yeah. And he said, do you see the steam coming out of that hole where we left that one brick out? And I said, yeah. And I said, can I ask you a question? Why did you leave that one brick out? And he opened his mouth and dust came out.
Uh-huh.
Because he couldn't explain to me, well, we intentionally blocked your chimney liner, and that's how we go about doing a lot of stuff in your basement and blah, 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 and all that stuff and everything.
Right.
We leave a brick out. And I said, you know what? I think it's fine. It was fine before. I think it's fine now. Chimney looks good. Let's just let it go.
Right.
So I said, just put the brick back in. So I pay him. They leave. I'm sitting in the house, and I'm again recovering from my surgery and everything. And all of a sudden, the air seems like it's getting real stale in the house. And I'm going like, what the? I know I'm recovering from surgery a little bit. And I thought, is that me or what? But then I started getting moisture in. You know, two flats. You have a foyer where you open the door and you come in,
mm-hmm.
and they have a glass door. I started getting moisture condensing on the inside of the glass.
Oh wow!
On my foyer. And I'm going like, what? And then I thought, I know. Then I go down in the basement, and it doesn't smell too good in the basement. It just seems the air was kind of stale. So I thought, I know what. I'll get some smoke detectors. So I get, I buy three or four smoke detectors, and I hang them all over the place and everything to see if I'm getting carbon monoxide. Nothing. And they even warn you, don't mount it too close to your furnace because you could set it off. When really it's not a legit carbon monoxide leak, it's just too close to your furnace. I have one of those old furnaces that has the open bottom where it goes up the chute, but the actual bottom of the thing is open.
Uh-huh, right.
And I hung it right next to the thing. I mean right next to it. Nothing. I called the smoke detector company and I said, hey, excuse me, can you help me out a little bit? How do I test to make sure that these smoking detectors are working? And they go, you can't. You don't.
Not the carbon monoxide detector.
Carbon monoxide. You bought the combos probably. And
I bought the carbon monoxide.
Right.
Well, then.
Yeah. And they said, you don't. You can't. I said, how do I know it's working? He goes, well, if there's carbon monoxide, it'll set it off. Well, I said, I got it right next to my furnace, and it's doing nothing.
Yep.
And then it probably won't because it's not a low-level carbon monoxide detector, so you've got to be at 70 parts per million for 4 hours.
Right.
Then I went out to the garage, turned my car on, and put it right by the back of my exhaust pipe on the garage, and it still didn't set it off.
Well, you got to leave it there for 4 hours.
Oh, you mean after I die?
Yes.
Yes.
People come in and say,
that's why we keep telling people that, yes, they're cold, but they're useless.
He must have been testing his carbon monoxide detector, because, see, it's setting it off, and he's dead. So, but it looks like he died before the carbon monoxide detector went off, and I'm going like, are you kidding me? So now I call my favorite furnace people.
Mm-hmm.
I won't say their name if you don't want me to say the name, but these guys are like the Lone Ranger of furnace people. They've been around for like 50 years.
Yeah.
And so I called the guy up and I said, you know what? I got it. Now the paint is starting to peel off the ceiling in my basement.
Where are we going with this?
We started
with a chimney and we're just rambling here.
Yeah, right. That's how much moisture is backing up in the basement. So the guy comes over from the furnace company and I said, you know what? There's something wrong with my furnace. I don't know what's going on, but things are weird. What's happening? So nice guy, real good guy. He's looking around and goes, yeah, there's something wrong here. So
right.
he takes the giant pipe that goes into my wall, into the metal pipe, into the chimney, and he just swivels it and he slides it out. And then he takes his flashlight to look and see how much clearance that I have for the exhaust and the furnace to go up the chimney.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, you better come over here for a second. And I said, why, what? He goes, here, take the flashlight and shine it up in there. You see that?
And debris from the chimney contract.
Yeah.
And there was just about enough room for maybe
two.
Might
go for a walk. Call me when he's done.
Maybe one mouse.
Right.
Maybe one thin mouse to escape. And he said, you know what? You were just barely getting exhaust out of the chimney. And he said, come here. He said, feel the back of your furnace. And that open part of the furnace where you're not supposed to feel anything because it's going up the big pipe and out the chimney, it was overflowing and spilling out over that metal pipe, and I could feel it with my hand. And he goes, He goes, the majority of the exhaust from your furnace is going into your basement.
Right. So the moral of the story is make sure your chimney is clear. And
yeah.
And then buy a low-level carbon monoxide detector so that way you can be testing this stuff. And if you call a furnace company, they can sell you that. You're not going to find a low-level carbon monoxide detector in the stores. So you're going to have to go to if you go to MightyHouse.net, click on the Mighty House team page, scroll down through there. We've got some contractors right there that'll be able to take care of you. I appreciate the phone call there, Carl. We got to get to the tip of the week now, right?
I wouldn't bother.
Okay. Thanks, Carl.
I wouldn't bother. It's longer than Carl's segment.
It's longer than that? What do you got for us?
It don't matter.
We've got 5 minutes.
Work on it.
Can you get it done in 5 minutes?
Maybe.
Or do we start it now and finish it in the next hour?
Yes.
That's fine.
You want to do that?
Sure.
What's wrong, Rich?
Nothing.
Nothing?
Okay.
Nothing.
I can tell you. I'll tell you in the break what's wrong.
He's grumpy.
No, not yet. He will.
No, not at all.
Here we go.
He will be?
He will be. Watch. Uh-oh.
Nuts? Okay, Sparky.
Freaking nuts. All right, so we talk about insulation all the time.
Yeah.
And most common question we get is, you know, which is the best?
Yes.
More better.
So here's another way to think about it. So first, you want to think about the long-term performance of the material that you're using. So, you know, everybody thinks, you know, you got, you know, because you can do fiberglass, rock wool, foams, you know, everything's dollar today. But think about the long-term performance. So, you know, when you talk about that, you want to look for something that the installation is easy. So, you know, it has to fill the entire void.
Newspaper.
Yep. Think about movement. You know, will the product shrink, settle, or compact? You know, because any of these things that happen will reduce or eliminate the performance of the material. And then moisture. Does the product lose its R value or performance when moisture is present? Which most installations do. Mm-hmm. You know, fiberglass gets wet. Loses its R value. So I'm going to run through just the five basic types of insulation we use and just how well they might work. So fiberglass bats, the most common, these are usually available with an R value of 3.1 to 4.3 per inch. And the 4.3 is like a blown-in fiberglass. So 4.3 per inch. Now, it's easy to install, right? It's made to go between studs in the ceiling, joists, roof, rafters. Unfortunately, especially with the bats, if there's any gaps, you just get air movement past it.
Right.
It just doesn't hold.
It filters the air.
Filters the air. And then fiberglass is very susceptible to moisture. When the dew point hits a certain, you know, that number, it's glass. It's little tiny strands of glass. So when it hits that dew point, those strands get covered in water, and the R value drops drastically. It can go to nothing in a heartbeat.
Mm-hmm.
So fiberglass can be okay, but it's got to be done properly and kept dry. Mineral wool is similar. It's got R values of 3.1 to 3.9.
That's the rock wool stuff, right?
Yeah, it's easier to install than fiberglass in the sense that it's sort of a denser product, so you cut it with a knife. Or like a handsaw type setup. And what's great is you can really stuff it into a joist space or a stud space very tight. So it seals a little better than fiberglass. So there's fewer gaps, but it's also naturally moisture resistant.
And so if that gets wet, it'll just dry out.
Correct. But it's moisture resistant. It doesn't just absorb it either. So
okay.
It doesn't, you know, it has a different type of reaction to moisture.
Mm-hmm.
Cellulose is something you typically see sprayed in your attic, and that's basically, like you said earlier, newspapers.
Right.
So that's about 3.2 to 3.9 per inch, the R value. Netting is usually put up on the walls to blow it in, and the problem with this one is it can settle. Over time, it tends to compact towards the floor, gravity.
Right.
So as it compacts in your ceiling, it loses R values. It settles in your walls. You may end up with a gap at the top plates, which is where most of your heat loss occurs anyway. So they've actually added some adhesives to that.
To kind of hold it in place?
To kind of hold it in place. So it helps, but it's not the be-all, end-all.
Okay.
And then our last two are going to be the open and closed cell foams. Open cell foam is pretty good. It's 3.5 to 3.6 R value per inch. thermal performance is not actually much better than, you know, the previous insulation. However, the air sealing properties of spray foams is where you really get the bang for the buck.
Yes.
Because they expand after they're applied, that seals in those gaps and things, and that's what makes it actually better.
More better.
More better. The downside to the open cell foam is that it is vapor permeable, which means moisture can go through it.
Mm-hmm.
So once it gets, if you don't have your, you know, your water drainage planes and moisture conditions, if you do not have that set up properly, then you've got a real issue. And then the closed cells foam is obviously the winner of the game. Its R value is 6.0 to 6.5 per inch.
Rocking.
Air seals. Stays rockin' in place, and it's vapor impermeable. That's the clear-cut winner, which is also why it's so damn expensive.
Yes, but you get your money back from it.
And you'll do a wrap-up after
and
the break?
And that's my tip of the week.
Look at that. See, he right
I'm
on the money. He knows exactly what the hell he's doing. All right, hey, you know what? We're going to take
a break,
and we're going to come back right after this. You're listening to...
This is Mighty House. Mighty House will return.